93.5, 95.3 ESPN Radio.
Well, Mondays and Fridays, certainly a highlight for us between 7:30 and 8. Brother Johnny, today from Philo, the center of the universe. Johnny!
Hey.
On his way to Houston, but in Philo's office this morning, on another lift, helping the world get stuff off the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico. Mike Ditka, you'll see him tonight before Monday Night Football, Detroit and Chicago. He'll be in the studios at ESPN, Bristol, Connecticut. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Pagan. Game over. Game seven tomorrow night.
We know what's at stake, and you know, to get to this point, we're excited, being down 3-1. And you go out there and you play like there's no tomorrow, and these guys have done a great job of it. They're keeping their poise, and they're finding ways to get it done.
As Joe Buck on the call, Bruce Bochy, the San Francisco Giant manager. And I tell you, Mike, wow, game seven. The Cardinals like to make it interesting, I guess, huh?
Well, you know, you can't say enough about, you know, when the Giants have needed the pitching, they've got it. I mean, it's great for baseball. It really is. I mean, whoever wins it tonight, I mean, they got to turn around and start the World Series on Wednesday. It's going to be tough. But, hey, you know, you might as well go with a little and I don't know who's going to win it, believe me. I think San Francisco's got to have a little bit of an advantage with the home field. You know, I don't know.
A little momentum. But I'll tell you, you sure can't bet against the Cardinals. That's what they do.
Yeah, but I tell you, if I'd have told you a year ago, Cardinals would be playing their 13th game in postseason, and as of last night, you don't have Albert Pujols, Lance Berkman, Rafael Furcal, and Matt Holliday's back was giving him problems. So you're talking about a tremendous pop in the lineup. You got Pete Cosma. You got Daniel Descalzo. You got a bunch of young guys that are somehow going to have to pull this out like they did in Washington against the Nationals. Mike, it's not going to be easy because I tell you what, those Giant fans are all over this.
Well, you know, the Giants, I mean, they're starting to do what, you know, the teams to get hot at the end do. They're getting the hits when they need the hits. They're getting the pitching when they need the pitching. We've seen this happen with football teams and baseball teams a lot. And, the team that gets hot, look at Detroit. I mean, look at where they have come from. I mean, Chicago White Sox had a very good chance of winning that, guys. They had a 3 or 4 game lead at a certain point. All of a sudden, at the end of the season, here comes Detroit. They get the hitting, they get the pitching, they got the MVP, I think, and the guy with the triple crown. I mean, let's face it, you do that, and that's the first time in 67 years somebody did it. You know, so I'm looking at Detroit. I look at St. Louis, same thing. St. Louis coming down the stretch, they got the hits when they needed them, and they got the pitching when they needed them.
Well, when they've had a game where they've lost, or now too, but they'll erupt sometimes too. So,
yeah.
Both these teams are there for a reason. They can just come alive, and then boom, they get you down. So, it'll be game seven, Stevie.
Yep, 5:50 tonight here on ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3. We'll have the ball game for you. And so we figured it out. We're going to start off with the Cardinals at a 6:30. Then we'll go to the Bears at 7:30, Bears-Lions, and then we're going to the debate at 8 o'clock while monitoring both. This is a tough choice evening here. Got to watch Coach Ditka before that on ESPN to get it all in. Yesterday, we were watching those Saints, Mike, and I tell you, I know that they have no defense, but they sure have an offense.
That's the thing, and when you have that kind of an offense, when you have that kind of a quarterback and receivers, you will always be in a football game. Now, if defense ever does come alive, this is a team that's going to make a run at the end, too. They're going to be a factor before this is over. There's no question about it because of the power of their offense.
I'll tell you, Drew Brees was on, too. He was really looking particularly sharp, but, boy, I'll tell you, it is discouraging when we just got to be at the bottom of the barrel in defense and top of the walking offense, so that's really going to be about a 500 team unless we get better on defense. So we'll see.
All right. Other good games yesterday, New England over the Jets in overtime, 29-26. Mike, what did you see in that one?
Well, you know, the Jets had their chance to win the football game. I mean, I thought the Jets accounted themselves very well. I've heard all the comments this morning. Well, this is still not the same Patriots team. It isn't. No, they're a good team, and they're not a great team right now because of their deficiencies on defense. But you know, it's still when you got Belichick and you got Brady and you got those tight ends, I don't think anybody in football uses their receivers any better than New England does. I really don't. They use their tight end. They use their wide receiver. They do an outstanding job. And they're going to be there at the end of the year, guys. Excuse me. No matter what you say, they're going to be there at the end.
And I liked Oakland over Jacksonville, even though I wanted Jacksonville. That was a really good game.
Almost had him again. Another overtime.
You, tough loss for our buddy Shad Khan. I mean, I'm really pulling. I find myself pulling for the Jags every week now, Johnny. I really
do. Well, yeah, absolutely. Sure.
I don't know. They beat. They got beat by Oakland, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Overtime.
I think.
But
I
lost
Jags.
Mike. They lost their running back and their quarterback.
Yeah, they lost what? They lost what, Johnny?
Both the running back and quarterback. Wow. Quarterback. Yeah. Jones, Drew, and Greber went down.
Yeah.
So, but it's going to be tough for them. I mean, that's going to be – if they lose Jones, Drew, that's really going to be tough. Yeah. I mean, the quarterback's bad enough, but the running back, like him, I mean, he's pretty special.
Right. Well, we had our buddy Henny out there playing, and he hadn't been playing with the offense much for Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Because he took – I think it's Greber is the guy's name, that hurt his shoulder. Didn't look – I hope he's going to be back. But
yeah.
Anyhow.
Rooting for him. Hey, Detroit at Chicago, Monday Night Football. Lions really need a win, but, boy, Bears at Soldier Field Monday night, I wouldn't bet against that, Mike.
No, the Bears are good, guys. I mean, they do the things you got to do. You play good defense. You can run the ball a little bit. Play good special teams. They're good. Their key is, you know, like anybody else, you can't turn the ball over in the National Football League and be a consistently good team. I think, you know, the Bears got to understand now that if they need this game, because if they're looking in the rearview mirror, Minnesota's not going to go away. They're going to get better. They're getting some offense now to go with their defense. And I'll guarantee at the end of the year, Green Bay is going to be there. I mean, what they did a week ago, they went down and walked into Houston and kicked their butts. And then yesterday, I mean, outstanding football. I mean, I'll tell you right now, the Rams are a pretty good team, guys. So, I mean, you know, it's not easy. But if you look at what Rodgers is doing, putting up those kind of numbers, it's crazy.
Well, and I think that the Green Bay defense, and they have played better the last 2 weeks, should be better than they've played with the personnel
right.
they got.
So
if they do, look out,
they don't have a big running game. But, you know, you're right, Steve. You're right, John. I mean, their defense should be better.
7:41, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3. Tonight,
the world will be watching as President Obama and Republican rival Mitt Romney face off one more time before Election Day. The forum will focus on foreign policy. No matter who may win tonight's debate, it's issues here at home that concern many Americans.
After a decade of war, both in Afghanistan and Iraq, the most important thing we have to do now is come bring American troops home and battle for America's future economically and strengthen America at home.
Tune in tonight right here on Fox to watch the third and final presidential debate. Marianne Rafferty, Fox News.
All right, I'm confused, Johnny. Did they just say that this is the president's strong suit?
Well, I didn't hear it. Well, I don't know what a strong suit is. We've had trouble. He's got a good image overseas. There's no question about that. As far as his foreign policy, I don't know, other than kind of pull back and become a kind of a meek player. I don't know what it is. I don't think it's a strong point. I don't think he's done a great job. And that's one of the hardest things for any president these days, by the way, is to have a good foreign policy that's effective. And that really, Mike, I think the goal is to protect America, number one, and influence the world in a way, I think, that make it a better place. At least that's what tried to do.
Yeah, we don't have a foreign policy. Our foreign policy right now is to appease everybody. Don't you take a stance on anything. Don't you be strong. Don't you be the leader of the free world like we are. Just try to appease everybody. And you find out that doesn't work. And Reagan said it very simply. You want to win the Cold War. He said, they asked him what his thoughts on the Cold War was. And he said very simply, we win, they lose. And, you know, somewhere along the way, you're going to have to take a stance. Either we are who we are or we're not who people think we are. So he wants to be this great pacifist of the world. It's not going to work that way because you govern through strength.
Oh, good news. Well, good news, Johnny. Chavez from Venezuela, Castro, and Putin have all endorsed Barack Obama.
Well, of course they have. That's because Mike's right. We've been a little bit less assertive, and they want free reign to do what they want to do. And
And they'll never get it with this guy. That's the thing.
Well, and then there is a certain sector of this country that say, hey, we've been bullies. We've been asserting our influence. The president's worldview is not that. And I think that's very clear. Should our worldview be what? How much intervention, how much influence should we have?
First of all, you got to show to me where in this world that we bully people. You show me where. These people who say that, where have we done this? I mean, I know when when coming into World War I and World War II, if we didn't come in, what do you think? There would be no world today. So you might hear all these pacifists and these liberals talking about we're the bully. Well, I mean, what are we the bullies? Why? Because economically we were a great country, because we have more democracy, because we're not a socialistic country. I mean, prove it. Just tell me, you know, I hear all this conversation. Where are the facts at? Who did we bully, really?
If you look at what happens when we're not around, bad things do seem to happen, Steve. We're not perfect, and we've been forced into some pretty strange relationships and supporting regimes we really don't like either. But it's pick your poison sometimes, Steve. You can jump from the frying pan into the fire. Look at Egypt. Mubarak, great guy? No. Better than what we got now? Yeah. So that's what we're faced with when we have a foreign policy decision to make, or a country. I think we needed to support Israel pretty staunchly, and I don't think Obama's done that. I really don't. He says he has, but I don't think he's been the ally that Israel needs us to be. And,
the people who can answer that best are the Israelis, and I think they would say just what you said, John.
So I don't know how that debate's going to go, Steve. I predict they'll get off track a little bit.
Yeah.
And you got Bob Schieffer here,
CBS
moderator.
Yeah.
They've been pretty entertaining, I will say, the debate. So
well, and I think Benghazi has to be front and center. We still don't have a coherent response as to what this was, how this was handled, whether they were doing this to say, hey, we can't have this kind of an attack before the election. Was that the strategy, or did they just bungle the information?
Well, it was a cover-up. Period. So, and no matter how you want to spin it, you can spin it any way you want to. We didn't have all the facts, this and that. We were waiting for more facts from the intelligence community, but it was a cover-up, guys. Period.
Well, it was at least the most disastrous strategy I've ever seen, and it was a political strategy, and it was unnecessary, I thought. And if Obama doesn't make it, Steve, that'll be a big reason. It's the wrong time for one thing, but it's also just one of those things you just can't explain. Why can't you give us a straight story there? It's not like we did it. I mean, terrorists attack our embassy, and could we have done a better job with security? Of course we could.
But this would have gone right into all of the stump speeches that said we have Al Qaeda on our heels. Were they too afraid to say, wait a minute, I thought Al Qaeda was on their heels? How could this happen, Mr. Brett?
But look what they're saying now, Steve. The truth is always the best way to go. And the Americans aren't grotesquely stupid. Sometimes I wonder. But, Steve, we know that getting Osama bin Laden didn't end terror. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
And the assumption that we got him, we've taken care of terror, if they're that stupid, whoever is saying that, or if their strategy assumes we're that stupid, it's a very bad political move, and I think it's hurt them. It's hurt the Democrats in this campaign, and that you can't make an assumption like that. We know there's terrorists. We still have to be in our guard. We don't just high-five and say it's over. Everybody knows better, and there's a good example, Mike, right there. It's still going. We have to be aware, and we have to be alert.
How can you have the audacity to say that we got Osama bin Laden when you know it was strictly he got Osama bin Laden? Nobody but him. That was
him. That, he did say it was a team effort. You don't brag at first,
but it's been a big issue for him
in the campaign because it's a positive he can point to that's happened in the last 4 years. But, you know, there is a negative to that, which is that the SEAL team that did that information was leaked out early, and there was a lot of concern over that. And sure enough, we lost some of those guys within a month or two. So,
I think you know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz said this morning, you know, the president said he's going to get the people in Benghazi. He's clearly shown that he can do things like that, obviously alerting us to the Osama bin Laden thing again. So it,
it's him. It's strictly him. You know, she's about as smart as a used egg.
She's pretty
the media has to even listen to this crap, and I saw her on one of the shows when I was doing my show yesterday, but it's pretty amazing that I'm stumped. I really am. I'm stumped in our country by the audacity of some of our politicians to be as hypocritical as they are and as stupid as they are. I'm sorry.
All right, Johnny, listen to this.
I saw a girl coming out from the salon, and she was bleeding in the neck with a paper towel over her neck.
Another crazy person shooting wildly in a spa this time. There's nothing really we can do about this, John and Mike. I don't know. It's just a frustrating, horrific thing again.
Yeah.
Where was this one at?
This is Wisconsin. I mean,
Wisconsin.
How do you stop random, without a police state, without no guns for anybody except the bad guys, how do you ever stop something like this?
Well, you don't. There's always going to be idiots, guys. And I think we can. You got to understand, it's a big world, big country. A lot of people, just assume the number of people that don't care that we're talking right now, what we're saying. So, there's just people who are... who are randomly going to say, okay, I'm going to get a gun, I'm going to shoot somebody, I'm going to rob somebody, I'm going to do this, and they're going to do it. I mean, you cannot change that. That's going to happen throughout history.
Well, it's a shame, and it seems to come like in spurts. Yeah. See, that's what's bizarre. You know, it went for a while without anything like it, and then here lately we've got this rash of shootings, and you certainly can't take away all the guns, which is the mythical answer. And so maybe we should all carry guns. I don't know. So that whoever's a customer at the spa will be able to defend
right.
someone yeah. against yeah. someone coming in. But really, there isn't an answer.
Another big story this morning.
Armstrong is coming with an incredible rush, and Cloten has realized it too late. Is there any stopping Lance Armstrong in this Tour de France? And the answer is no, there is not.
Lance Armstrong is going to be stripped of everything, Mike.
Yeah, I saw that this morning, and, I wish I knew more about it I'm sure that, in the history of the Tour de France, many of the people who won have probably taken something.
Yeah.
I don't know what he took. I don't know how much it can help. Believe me, guys, it's hard for me to imagine that if you take something, it's going to make you automatically a great cyclist or give you that much endurance. I don't know. So, you're asking the wrong guy, but it's hard for me to imagine not to give this guy any credit for the talent he has and for the heart he had, for the will he had. I don't know. I just don't think a drug can do that. I'm sorry.
And I'm not sure how many people weren't taking something anyway, so I don't know that everybody wasn't on the same playing field. And we won't know that, Steve, but, boy, he did a heck of a job when he was bicycling. It still wasn't easy.
No question.
I go back and I think back, and guys, it's just hard for me to believe. I'm not saying it isn't true, and I don't know, and I'm not saying they're not doing the right thing. I don't know what if it's right or wrong. I'm just saying I just find it hard to believe in watching him day after day in that Tour de France, and then going saying, what did he take? What did he take to make him that good? What do you put in your system to make you do that? We all ought to get that stuff.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Well, and I'll tell you, it was something that was almost impossible to detect as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know what kind of damage it did to him. But yeah, and defending, if it's a rule, it's a rule. And if he was breaking it, then it's a bogus championship. But
Nike dropped him too over the weekend as well.
So. Well, that's some money, isn't it?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
So there you go.
All right.
But,
last item. Nobody's watching the PGA right now, but did anybody see what Tommy Two Glove Gainey did yesterday?
Shot 30, didn't he?
He got a 60. He shot a
60.
What, Mike, that's your kind of number. What's that?
Well, yeah, I shoot 60, then I got to play those last seven holes. truly amazing. I looked up and I thought maybe I saw 30 on one side, but you're right, he shot 60.
That's nuts. I mean, how can a guy shoot 60 on Sunday? Tommy wins 720. Johnny wears two gloves. They call him Tommy Two Glove Gainey. And it's like, there's no way. And all of a sudden, when nobody's looking, the guy wins a PGA event shooting a 60 on Sunday. Come on.
So what did that do? Did he just barely win
with
that?
Yeah, he won by one.
He came back and shot.
What is that? 12 under par.
That's just ridiculous. I can't. How does anybody? But Mike, you said it. How many times have you said one of 100 guys can win on a weekend? That's it. That's how good everybody is.
You're exactly right. But what about the guy who was leading and the guy shoots 60 and he loses by one?
Well, yeah. David Toms, Johnny shot 63 and lost.
Yeah.
The LSU man. So Gainey, was that his first win?
I don't know if he's ever won an event. I don't know.
I think he might have won one, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, but you tell David Toms that you're going into Sunday with a lead and you shoot 63 and you don't win. Oh, come on. Come on. That's ridiculous. It's just out of hand. Sometimes you see stuff guys do in athletics, it's just beyond comprehension.
Well, it's just, you know, you're on sometimes, Stevie. Yeah. You know, when I played at Augusta National, I got a 39. Where did that come from?
How about that, John? How about that, Mike? That was because of the Calamity Jane Bobby Jones
putter. I don't know
what
that was.
He brought the golf course.
If you shoot 39 at Augusta as an amateur, it's because you can putt. Believe me, because if you can't putt, you got no chance.
Well, didn't you make everything? Bobby Jones, Calamity Jane putter, Johnny, you were making everything.
We were making some putts, and I was also hitting. You know, usually I'm pretty wild on all the shots, but for some reason, you know, you just get on. And when you're a professional athlete, you have good days. I thought Drew Brees had a day like that yesterday,
He did. You're right. I mean, I'm watching these guys, and it's hard to imagine the talent they have, but Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers or an Eli Manning or Peyton Manning, you go on and on and on. You know, the Houston team's pretty good, John, in football.
And you know, too, Steve, these guys have their bad days, too. I think there's another one. Rodgers had a good day yesterday.
Yep.
You know, we see these guys every day. They're always good, but they have their good days and their bad days. And, boy, when they're on, like Gainey, look out.
It's crazy. Guys, we're going to be watching Mike Ditka tonight for sure.
Yep,
on
I want to hear what Mike gets
you
to say about those Bears.
Everybody wants to know what Mike Ditka says. Coach will call you.
How
Friday.
About them Bears?
Hey, we'll call you guys Friday. Thanks again.
Thank you.
We'll watch you tonight, Mike, ESPN, with Mike Ditka, brother Johnny. Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, right here.